This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in on a football Tuesday, I think is what you would call it, a toxic Tuesday, no doubt. And we do have 5 hours of sports here coming up for you. A special Tuesday, okay? We do this every year. We have Sounds of Thanksgiving Pass coming up a little bit later on, Chief.
Looking forward to that, man. I really am.
Yeah, and we have a double guest situation. We have Mark Schlereth and Eric Kendricks coming up. Of course, Krusty's Corner at 3:40. Brian, looking forward to that.
Yep, get the Giants. What do we got? The Giants offense today, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Just a bunch of stink.
Are you really looking forward to that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
that's like looking into a toilet.
Do we know who's going to be?
Wolchuk got done with it.
Do we know who's going to be playing quarterback
for the Cowboys?
For the Giants?
Oh, I thought because, you know, Cooper Rush has got, he's dealing with a knee injury right
now.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Maybe both.
I have a feeling it's going to be Tommy DeVito. What I haven't seen anything different about.
Give me cutlets.
I saw he was a little sore.
Yeah.
He's not 100% for Thursday. I don't know if that's a bad or a good thing if you want to see the Cowboys win or lose.
Yeah, you know, I know that we have Eric Kendricks on today at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
We might need to worry about him. We got 48 hours to see if we can get him right.
Yeah.
But we might need to worry about that one.
And okay.
When you ask him, what's he going to do? He's going to go, yeah, feel good.
Yeah.
Feel good.
Yeah. Feel good. Feel great.
When he says feel good, then you just probably, he gives you that little short answer.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that maybe Eric Kendricks might not be involved.
Okay. Drew Locke is taking some first team snaps right now with the Giants. He's got a forearm issue, does Tommy Cutlets. So not 100% that he will be playing on Thursday. So I guess the team tankers out there probably fired up to see Drew Locke.
Yeah, there you go.
Gives
Giants a better chance of winning probably.
Yes.
You do have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup back there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing to go 5 hours flawless once again. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, forearm injury. Brian Daboll says not 100% to play Thursday against the Cowboys. You know, if it's a forearm injury for a pitcher, he's Dunsky. But football's a little bit different. Okay, you had an optimistic Jerry Jones this morning with Sean and RJ, didn't you? And he had a number of things to say that have created ripples once again throughout Cowboys Nation, saying this thing isn't over, you know, as far as a playoff run. shoot, you'd have to win out. You know, maybe you could lose one at 9-8. Maybe it's still possible, but there's no reason to believe that they're playing the kind of football that could allow them to do that. I mean, 10 points going into the or 9 points going into the fourth quarter. That was you know, pretty rough until you get that absolute calamity of events in the final 5 minutes. You know, but you can't begrudge Jerry. You know, his optimism. He is optimistic to a fault. He has admitted that in the past. But you know, I wonder how interesting they can make this. You know, they're gonna beat the Giants. They could beat the Bengals. They could beat the Panthers at four in a row. I think momentum would start to pick up pretty good, wouldn't it? I mean, you get that four in a row. Now you just got to win two of the final three to be at 9-8. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Is that Jerry just being optimistic, or is there a path through here somehow, some way, Brian?
I think it's Jerry being optimistic. You know, they're going to lose some more games along the way. You know, your quarterback situation. You know, if even with Dak Prescott in there, though, they were struggling with some of their offensive stuff. They're still, in some ways, I mean, there was some improvement. The offensive line the other day did a pretty nice job for you running the football.
You know, now we have a better run game. Yeah, Micah back.
17 points off.
Secondary special, getting healthy.
17 points off special teams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it was more than that, maybe. Was I wrong? 17? Two
the
field
two
goals?
Touchdowns?
Two touchdowns, two field goals, or one field goal?
You had, I think you had two field goals.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, so we'll see. But I don't think. I mean, I think you're going to have some tough games ahead. Going to Philadelphia is going to be tough. You know, Cincinnati is going to be tough. Tampa's going to be fighting for the division lead right there. You know, you're going to lose some football. You're going to almost need to play perfect football along the way. You know, to be able to get into the playoffs. I don't think this team's capable of that.
No, not at all. I don't expect this. I mean, I guess if they do go on a four-game run, that would be insane right now. I do expect them to beat the Giants, but not confident enough to even pick them in Survivor. You know, Broadus is that confident. I'm not even quite that confident just because that game the other day was just so ridiculous. Yeah. And there was plenty of it that was the Cowboys doing what the Cowboys have done all season, hurting themselves in a big way. So I would expect them to still probably only win two more games the rest of the way.
All righty, you have that. And then, you know, Jerry talking about Mike McCarthy is sort of made people nervous. He says, I don't think it's crazy at all that we could be talking about a new Mike McCarthy contract at the end of the year. It's a Super Bowl winning coach. Mike McCarthy's been there and done that. He has great times. And we got a lot of football ahead of us.
I think if he was going to have extended him, he probably would have already done it then. I don't think he's going to extend this guy. He says there's plenty of football left. He's going to see how this thing's going to play out. There are going to be some of the, once again, games like we've seen really all year long.
Yeah.
Games that they're not going to move the ball very well on, you know, on offense, make you know, give up a big run or something. I mean, you know, the one way the Giants can get you this weekend, and we'll talk about it, is, you know, their ability to run the football with Tracy back there, you know, and that's something that, you know, whoever plays quarterback for the Giants, I kind of feel like that the Giants, now I'll tell you this, they're going to come in this game with also throwing the ball to neighbors. After what he said last week.
Feed the men.
Yeah, you're going to see extensively that number one for the Giants get thrown the football in this game, and he's capable of wrecking your day.
Well, what's your percentage then? Are you putting it a bagel? 0% chance that McCarthy's back?
Oh, I'd say zero.
All right.
I would say zero.
Okay, so our Friday 4 o'clock guest, Nick Harris, tweeted about this and says he's been saying for a few weeks not to rule it out. There's going to be a holistic look at McCarthy's five-year tenure, the 3-12 win seasons in a row, the fact the guys continue to play hard for him.
Sure.
But you
didn't win the division. You didn't, you know, there were questions about the scheme earlier in the year, if you remember. Jerry was talking about that. Mm-hmm. That's Mike McCarthy's responsibility. His unwillingness to not change play callers when things was going south, that's another thing I would probably put against him. All I heard was him praise Mike Zimmer and what they've done defensively today.
Yeah.
It is only when asked about Mike McCarthy did he give Mike McCarthy praise. That was the only time that he was given praise.
Yeah, I think the only reason Mike McCarthy was here is they knew it was going to be a step back kind of year, even though they didn't say it. I think you had to know it based on, you know, how many players you let go and how bad last year's draft was. I just don't think you had much of a chance of, you know, maintaining the level. And instead of hiring a coach and giving him a disappointing team that's turning over a bunch of guys that aren't going to be here anymore, I think you just let Mike McCarthy play out the string, saves Jerry $4 or $5 million. Yeah. And you get ready maybe to give the next head coach a cleaner slate, you know, more of a clear developing roster.
There are candidates that, that Jerry Jones can absolutely live with. He could live with Bill Belichick. He could
live with lots of them.
He could live with Mike Vrabel. You know, he could live with those. He, you know, I don't know necessarily if they're going to go after Ben Johnson, which they absolutely should. But yeah, I think this coaching search, I want to believe it's going to be a little bit more extensive, but with names like Belichick and Vrabel and those guys in the mix, this thing might be Mike McCarthy like 2-3 days, you know, come to the facility, have dinner, and the next thing you know, you got a head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully it's a more thorough search than that, a better process than last
time. Probably won't be.
Probably not. Coming up at 2:40, we'll take a look at the top 12 candidates to replace Mike McCarthy. Mm. If you have thoughts, you want to put them in the text, go ahead. Two-time Pro Bowl linebacker Shaq Barrett announcing his retirement from the NFL in July has applied for immediate reinstatement.
Oh,
yeah. Drew Rosenhaus, Robert Bailey telling ESPN's Adam Schefter today. Dolphins currently hold Barrett's contractual rights. He had 4.5 sacks last year. I know last year he was recovering from an insane family tragedy, the loss of their 2-year-old daughter. Was he good last year? I mean, is this a player that contenders are going to be jumping at?
Yeah, I think so. It'll just be interesting to see how the Dolphins play it. Like, will they just outright cut him? Obviously, you can't trade anybody at this point. So I'm sure if this would have happened before the trade deadline, maybe they could have worked something out. The tea leaves on social media, people are connecting dots that it sounds like he wants to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're the Dolphins. Maybe they're just such a bunch of nice guys up there, and they're like, cool, you can just go ahead and go wherever you want. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you to be here. But it sounds like Barrett's open to being with the Dolphins, and who can't use a functional edge rusher this time of year?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The Dolphins playing better now, too.
Dolphins are playing better.
Maybe come
helps
back.
Helps you play bad teams.
Come back into the mix, you know, and try. If he ends up in Philadelphia, this is how this thing can work. If all of a sudden they release him, he has the opportunity to go there. You could see the Dolphins and the Eagles during the draft flop spots for no apparent reason.
Oh, okay. I'll give them a little wink wink.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden we're sitting there in the fifth round and Philadelphia goes on the clock and Miami's behind them. Maybe a pick swap there. Like we'll just, and then you don't get a reason why. It's like, and then you make some past considerations move or something like that. You know?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, workarounds. The NFL will let you get away with that.
Yeah, they will.
They can't prove it.
They can't prove that what you're doing. I mean, you could also call them up and let them really win one side of the trade, too. You know, you can make a trade, pick swap, give them a little bit better spot. Maybe instead of going 5 or 6 spots, you go up 12, 13 spots, you know, something like that to kind of have an opportunity to grab a player just for letting that guy go to you.
Ravens really owned the Chargers last night in the second half. Multiple big plays. L.A. couldn't get much going until they were down 2 scores in the last 5 minutes as John moves to 3-0 against Jim.
Yeah.
I don't know how you live that down if you're Jim right now. You know, that's got to be, a little, that's massive bragging rights for your brother. I don't think he will say anything else to you to greet you until you can remedy this in some way. But I mean, that's quite an advantage now. I suppose you got a team build to beat the Chiefs in that division, but you also got a team build to beat brother, I would say.
What do you think? Do you put like in your own personal man cave, if you're John Harbaugh, do you have like some type of personalized banner that you hang in your man cave that represents your 3-0 undefeated, one being the biggest of them all, Super Bowl of your bro?
At holidays, you know those big yard signs to celebrate a kid graduating or a kid's 1-year birthday? They'll put it in the front yard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going all out. I think this is, you know, it's a well-documented rivalry.
Yeah, they meet in the playoffs, though. We all know what happens with Lamar Jackson, so Chargers might.
Yeah, but what happens to the Chargers?
Chargers will be Chargers.
Chargers could be up by a million.
I think the Chargers are really a much better team than with any other time. Yeah. You know, we've seen them with the coaches they've had the last several years.
For sure, yeah. They have a real coach, real adult in the room. They're buttoned up.
Yeah.
They run the ball. They play defense. They just need some weapons.
Yep.
Top Colorado NFL draft prospects Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are expected to play in a bowl game, says Dion today. He was asking about the possibility of them playing in their final game against Oklahoma State. Could be the final time they suit up for Colorado. No, it's not the last time you're going to see them in a Buffs uniform, these two. And all the rest of the seniors have done a wonderful job getting us to where we are, instilling so much expectation in our fan base and expectation in ourselves. So they're going to play out the string. The Undertaker is scared, if you can imagine. What's he scared of? The Aggies.
Oh.
Undertaker. You know, after McConaughey, he's in contention for, you know, biggest celebrity Longhorn fan. Says that place is crazy on a regular game, much less against Texas. I think they definitely got a spot locked up in the playoff, but it'd be nice to have one of those top seeds. But a little anxious. I know a lot of people are. This is incredibly exciting.
Yeah, you
know?
It is. Yeah, Texas A&M played with their food the other day at Auburn.
Yeah.
But that's the SEC.
Yeah.
Man, you just, wherever you go, there's a possibility. I mean, Nick Saban even said it. He's like, listen, all you guys think that A&M is going to go into that Jordan-Hare Stadium? That place is haunted, you know, and he was right. I mean, Auburn had no business winning that game with the quarterback play that they've been having. But here you go, Texas A&M. Texas A&M had a couple of really bad losses. South Carolina, I think, is proven to be a much better team, so not a bad loss there. Auburn's a bad loss.
North Carolina announcing Mack Brown will not return. Hall of Fame coach yesterday declaring his intentions to return to the Tar Heels. They said, not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
The 73-year-old, not clear if he's going to coach in a bowl game.
No, and that's the thing. He's focused on senior day. They're playing North Carolina State. So he's trying to say, hey, come out, support the kids. He had all intentions of coaching. He really, really did. He was not going to – He was saddling up for another year, and that's, you know, the athletic department basically said, nah, we're going to go in a different direction there. He came back and gave that program some stability.
Yeah.
You know, he really, really did. They were kind of wandering around in the woods a little bit, and they've had some really good players go through there, just probably haven't had the success overall, you know, that they thought that they were going to get. But give Coach Brown a lot of credit. He's one of my favorite guys to ever be around.
You
know,
right
on. I played for him at LSU. He was an offensive coordinator in 1982.
Cool. Uh-huh.
And when I went to the University of Texas for Pro Day there, when we were watching Connor Williams at Pro Day, I went up to him and, you know, I was talking to him. I went up to introduce myself. I said, Coach, I'm Brian Broaddus. He goes, Brian Broaddus, Dallas, Texas, LSU Fighting Tiger. How you doing? And here I am. I'm like, Coach, you don't know how much that means to me. He goes, oh, no, man. He goes, you guys were one of our best recruiting classes we had at LSU when I was. He was only there the 1 year, you know. But he said, hey, you guys were the recruiting class that kind of got us, you know, got LSU going back, you know, the right way again. But just, like, I had not seen him forever. Mm-hmm. And he remembered where I was from, you know, and then, you know, me being a part of all that stuff at LSU. I've always appreciated the fact that Mike Tirico is another guy that can do that to you. You know, by the way, you can meet Mike Tirico. Like, I met him, like, with John Gruden one time when Gruden was doing Monday Night Football. And I met Mike Tirico real, real early in the season. And late in the year, I'm on the field, and Mike Tirico walks up. Brian, hey, how's it going? Good to see you again.
Wow.
And you're like, oh, hey, Mike, yeah. You know, you're kind of like, you don't know, you know, do you go up and say hello? Do you shake his hand? You know, Kevin Harlan's that way a little bit, too.
Gosh, he smells good.
Kevin Harlan is the same kind of guy you can go up and he's, oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for asking about the wife. You know, things like that. He's a
true legend.
Guy. Yeah, true legend that way.
It's always good. And, you know, I think Max had a great career. If he shuts it down here at 73, that might be the best move. Who knows? It seems like a guy that really loves coaching and being around the kids, though, so I wouldn't be surprised.
He loves the kids.
Yeah.
He loves being around the kids. That's the plan.
Mavs were already without Luka, Grimes, and Clay. Lively was too sick to continue after 11 first-half minutes. Speaking of playing with your food, they were down 8-9 points about midway through the third quarter. Then they put the hammer down.
Yeah.
And they blasted them. Scored 68 points in the second half. They shot 68% from the floor in the fourth quarter. And you put four players with 20 or more, led by Kyrie's 32. He was scintillating. Hardy had 23. Dinwiddie and Marshall each had 22. And the Mavs win again. So that's awesome. And when we come back, we'll have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. On the other side, NFL power rankings. Are these guys really that good? It's next right here. The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. The G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 7 minutes. A little NFL power rankings here. Let's talk a few minutes of Dallas Stars with you, though. Disappointing finish last night. Just didn't have time to get to it there in the opening segment. This segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is the victim of a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. 5 goals for the Hurricanes in the third. That's tough, man.
Yeah, and you know the Stars had a chance in that one. They gave up a penalty late in that one, and then they had a deflection that went in. It's surprising how it all came down, because the Stars usually so aggressive with the way they play their defense, especially on the kill. And this one, they just kind of sat back and allowed the Canes to kind of dictate play a little bit. But unfortunately, like you said, the deflection off their own and then into the goal, and then they gave up an empty netter at the end, and that was the game. So never really could, you know, with the extra attacker, never really could get anything going to try and get the game tied. Just could not get in the zone, could not get set up. Canes did a great job of clearing the puck and then ultimately getting that empty netter at the end.
Momentum got you. It's the worst kind of defeat where for the majority of the game you think you've won it. You know, we've done enough to get the win here. Yeah. We just need to not, we need to avoid the disaster at the end. You're just left there at the end like surreal feeling, picking up the pieces.
They scored in the first 18 seconds of the game.
Yeah, they did.
And then you're up 3-1. This is a game you have to win.
Yeah, but you know, the Stars have done a really nice job, though, on the road trip. They're in Chicago on Wednesday night. But they'd had won 3 straight road games. So they're still playing at a very, very high level. But they had a 2-goal game in that lead, and they just could not close it out. Usually they're pretty good at doing that, and they just not against the Canes.
All right, give me your top 5 NFL power rankings here. We have some Cowboys. We have some NFC East relevant discussions inside of this. I understand the Lions are 10-1 again, first time. I think this is the first time ever. We don't even get to go back to 1934 for this one. It's just the first time Detroit's ever been here.
Yep.
So congrats to them. If we're lining up the Super Bowl tomorrow, you're picking the Chiefs to beat the Lions, though, right?
No, I picked the Lions.
You're picking the Lions.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've ridden the Lions. We had this question. Wolchuk asked this in one of those true or fart situations, and I'm pretty adamant about the Lions and what I think they can do. I think they would do the same thing to them they did opening day of last year.
Chief, who are you picking if it's
at Arrowhead?
Chiefs, Lions? Who do you have at the top of your NFL power rankings?
I still just lean Chiefs. I know that they haven't been better this season. The Lions have clearly been the best team in the sport this season.
Yeah.
But when it all comes down to it in the playoffs, I do think, and I'm starting to be a little less confident, not only in what you've seen with the lack of explosiveness with the Chiefs offense, but then now the defense is kind of trending in the wrong direction. And so Steve Spagnuolo is going to have to get that thing tightened up. I would say if you get to playoff time and the Chiefs are playing this level of defense that they're playing right now, now, and they're not back up to the standard, which is super physical and super stingy and keeping teams out of the end zone, then I will probably have to change things. But I will still put my trust in Andy Reid, Mahomes, and Spagnuolo to figure it out, put me in the postseason, put me in the big game, and they will just find a way to win it.
Salute to Detroit, though. It's 10 quarters now without giving up a touchdown.
There you go.
Could look like that Tampa Super Bowl.
Yeah, first in offensive scoring, second in defensive scoring. So,
what do their DVOA numbers say about that defense, Chief? Is it all that in a bag of chips, or are they getting a little fortunate here?
Let me pull it up right now, and we'll take a look at it.
NFL.com has Buffalo number 2 at 9-2, the Eagles at number 3. They put Kansas City all the way back at number 4. I know it's been shaky, but there have been a lot of shaky moments in each of the last couple of seasons. And then the Ravens at 5. I'm not sure what to do at 5. I think that's fair, but I also think the at least the Vikings and Packers deserve some consideration in there as well. You know, maybe you know, you got to move it out to 6 or 7 teams. I think ultimately you know, I'm going to put Green Bay in there though. I like what they have going on. I can't believe how good Philadelphia is. A month ago, I wanted to believe that it was a poor schedule, but they just keep soldiering on.
Now 2-2, and they made some changes in the secondary. You know, with their nickel, and then also, you know, on the outside, Mitchell has been playing really, really well for him though. So yeah, they've done a much better job. The safeties have always kind of been a group that maybe got exposed a little bit, but they're doing a great job. And Saquon Barkley is everything that, you know, you would think that you when you drafted him, you're thinking, oh, Saquon Barkley, Penn State, this is what he looks like. You know, he's playing. That's the type of player. The Giants, I don't think, got that player. I think the Eagles got that kind of player.
Yeah, this is his best year. You know, it's amazing how, you know, 6 years in with all those injuries, he still has the burst and the pull away speed. Okay, the Cowboys are coming in at 22, guys. I kind of feel like after the win, you can maybe take them out of they're one of the worst 5 teams and start to consider that maybe they're just in the bottom third and they can get some distance between them and the absolute worst teams. I do like, you know, what I'm seeing here. At 21 is the Bengals.
That's what
I was
saying.
Your opponent in 3 weeks from now.
I was going to ask you, where do they have the Bengals? That's kind of, if the Bengals are ahead of them, if the Bengals were behind them, I would say, I don't know about that, but the fact that the Bengals are ahead of them by one spot, I think that's fair.
I do think the Bengals are a better team than the Cowboys. Part of what's haunting them is one score games. They're 1-6.
Yep.
If the kicker had just made his field goals, they would have won at least 2 or 3 more games.
Mm-hmm. But Carolina's coming in there at 27, the New York Giants at 30. So you are going to go on a run facing teams consecutively in the bottom third. And, you know, maybe Jerry Jones will have something to wish for as we head towards Christmas.
Yeah, the problems are the Cincinnati game, the Tampa game, the Philly game, and maybe that Commanders game. We'll see how that's played at the very last, you know, the day of the season. But I, you know, the Cincinnati and Philly game are going to be, and Tampa's going to be tough too.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Lions number 2 defense, by the way.
Oh, wow.
DVOA wise.
Yeah, man. Without Aiden Hutchinson, that's one hell of a roster they've put together. Time to go into the Pimp Cup. We're Lucius Alexander. There's your G bag of the day.
Get everything situated. Oh, boy. Sit on down here. I heard you call them the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Bengals. Bengals. Bengals.
Bengals. Rock like an Egyptian.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of, too, when you said it, bro. All right. Our winner so far comes from the Cowboys postgame here on 105.3 The Fan. Mr. Broaddus, stand up.
Stand up.
Zach Wolchuk, where you at?
Stand up.
Shine time for you, sir. Jeremy in San Antonio.
Stand up.
It's just like Compton, fool. Jeremy in San Antonio goes back and forth with the post-game show, says you guys aren't really giving the Cowboys no smoke.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little
nice
bit of
guy.
What Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his lap because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank.
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this franchise to task?
You're full of S right now. You're completely full of S.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after every single postgame show.
Our shows call these guys to task, you know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that, but
okay, I don't agree with you.
And what is it that you don't agree with, Jeremy?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on? What more?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will? You're not. You guys,
Jeremy,
are
you're full of crap.
Jeremy,
you're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap about this.
I did it last week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen.
I appreciate Wolchuk jumping in off the bench.
That was a hell of a tag team.
That was the third man in the fight right there. We got game misconducts for that. We got sent off.
No, y'all definitely jumped him right there.
We did. We jumped him.
He Krusty said, what is going to end?
Yeah, I don't know. Give it a couple more, 2-3 decades.
He's got a call back. He'll call back Thursday.
Oh, my God. What is it going to end, man?
What is going to end?
Here's the thing, though. You have to be willing to be held accountable. Jerry won't let himself be held accountable. You know, that's the thing that sucks about people in power. When they get enough status and wealth, they just think the rules don't apply to them. And if you own it, I you can make it so, to the detriment of everybody that cares about your business, Jerry.
Well, I'm here. Let me have it. Are you guys familiar with, I got this from a lot of Tolos last night. A lot of Tolos sent me this one. I was going to sleep on it. I ain't going to lie. But after seeing so many Tolos send it to me, I said, I guess I got to play it. JoJo Scarlatta. JoJo Scarlatta is from the Netflix show The Circle. Ooh. Look like he's won a few times. Pretty famous out there. Mm. He's a Giants fan. Oh, he's having a whole meltdown over Saquon Barkley.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
So we didn't want to pay the 26 or 27-year-old running back. And yesterday, while the guy we paid $160 million was released and probably enjoying his Sunday, Saquon Barkley had 300 yards from scrimmage. He's averaging 6 yards per carry on the season. Career high, 1,300 rushing yards in what, 11 games? The Giants had 250 offensive yards yesterday. Saquon Barkley literally out and produced our entire offense by himself. If this doesn't tell you that we're hot ass and we've been for years, I don't know when we're going to wake up. I don't know. The guy leaves the Giants and he's the greatest running back of all time. And we f***ing just suck. And I'll give you one more. Xavier McKinney leaves the Giants. 6 f***ing interceptions. Six interceptions in Green Bay. Are we as cursed as the Jets? I don't want to say it, but are we that f***ing bad?
Bad?
We are hot ass.
Yeah, there was a lot going on with that. Was that New York and Chicago in one?
There's a lot going on. Saquon Barkley?
Can't even do it how he said it.
Yeah, Barkley.
Barkley?
Could we be this lucky that the Giants are now as bad as the Jets? I hope so. You know?
Man.
Washington's not a doormat anymore.
No.
They're looking eerily similar right now, these Giants and these Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the ownership with the Giants was a little bit more buttoned up, but man, they might just be a disaster themselves.
Yeah, the Jets. It's a team ran by a guy named Woody Johnson, bro.
Woody and Brick.
Brick Johnson?
That's his son.
No way.
Yeah, he's the shadow GM.
Brick Johnson?
Big Brick Johnson. He's a Harvard student.
Says, son, I know what Woody did to me. I'm going to hook you up. Woody Johnson and Brick Johnson. I always thought it was crazy that Woody Johnson, he comes from the pharmaceutical side of the Johnson & Johnson family, right?
He does.
But he hired Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
People were
I always thought that was like, hey, man, okay, business is business.
Yeah, people were joking that Aaron Rodgers was sucking for the Jets just to spite Woody Johnson and Johnson & Johnson. That's his whole ploy.
It's the long game. Yeah. All right, one of the greatest sports radio callers of all time. I say sports radio caller because there's a regular radio guy that calls all the time. One of the greatest prolific callers in all of radio. His name is Shampoo. Ooh. I've heard him on so many different radio shows, and people can't even tell it's him. I hear him. I hear him because I listen. You might have heard him on Howard Stern's show. He goes by the name King of All Blacks.
Okay.
King of All Blacks. He okay. All right.
Yeah. But he's called so many different damn radio shows.
Okay.
But it has nothing to do with him. This is Legend right here. Legend from Bama. Calling to the Paul Feinbaum show.
Paul Feinbaum. Here we go.
Over Bama losing.
Yeah.
Carter sent me this.
What I seen Saturday night, that was pathetic. It was disgusting, man. You know, Paul, going from Coach Saban to Coach DeBoer, it's like going to bed married to Beyonce and waking up with Whoopi Goldberg laying next to you.
God.
Brother. How do we accept it? Is this acceptable, Alabama fans? Is this Alabama football? Is this what we signed up for? Is this what Bear Bryant built? Is this what Nick Saban built? You know, I heard Coach DeBoer in his press conference after the game talking about, we need to learn how to do better. Nah, dude, all that crap's over with. You ain't going to the playoffs, and every real Alabama fan don't give a damn now because there's nothing at stake. I don't even give a damn about the Iron Bowl. I don't even care who I piss off. I don't care which one of you little Alabama fans get your feelings hurt because Legend keeps it 100, but damn the Iron Bowl. We about national championships at Alabama. I give a damn about being some weak-ass Auburn team. It's about playoffs and championships.
It is. And now they're back to reality. Bama fan, I hope you enjoyed that.
Bro, 15 yeah, years of frightening seven. That was. Go to sleep with Beyonce, wake up with Whoopi Goldberg.
I mean, yeah. That is...
I would gnaw my arm off just to get out of that situation.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I'll tell you what's impressive.
I burned down the house on the way out. Yeah. Can't nobody tell the story.
I think I set myself on fire, Lucius. Yeah.
What's impressive about that thing is the fact that he's able to, usually with a phone conversation, you that close, it would just be crackling and out of control. I think he's got that thing away from his way. He's got somebody holding it for him.
I thought he was on an ISDN.
And he's just yelling at it.
He's
and
got talent and skills.
Yeah, he's got talent, but you could hear everything he's saying.
He's got this thing that the truck drivers are wearing when they walk into CVS and they got the microphones.
I was wondering because
they work at ABC at the call center.
That is every word you could hear, it was clear.
It was.
Usually when people yell at a phone, it's so distorted and all that.
Yeah.
That guy's a pro.
If I'm Paul, I'm sending that dude a $1,000 microphone to call in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need that
Paul
content.
Probably did. Yeah. Probably does, yeah.
All righty, it is time to vote here for your G-Bag of the Day champion. Is it Jeremy in San Antonio, JoJo Scarlatta on Saquon Barkley?
Barkley.
Or is it the Legend on Paul Feinbaum? I'm going to go with the Legend there, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to go with the Champ. Lucius?
Yeah, me too.
Ryan?
I'll tell you what, Dawson, I really do like the Legend. I was going to vote for us, but I'm going to vote for the Legend because I think the fans need to decide this one.
Okay, that means we are tied at two. And you're
man of the people.
Yeah.
Jump on to at G-Bag Nation. I love it when this happens because people always say you only vote for your coworkers.
Right.
And what you're going to see right here, if you jump on to at G-Bag Nation, who is your G-Bag of the day? We'll create an Insta poll here. We'll give you 5 minutes to vote on and announce the winner on the other side. But the Tolos vote for us, too. Tolos won yesterday's vote for you guys 80-20, ratioed them 4-1.
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, head coach replacement power rankings for these Cowboys. It's next to the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Bag Nation 105 through the Fan. NFL News the day is coming up at 3 o'clock. Who do you want the Cowboys coach to be? I have some coach power rankings here, coach candidate power rankings. City is playing in the Champions League right now. If you are looking for some afternoon sports to watch, is it Feyenoord? How do you pronounce that?
Feyenoord,
okay.
I think I'm sorry. I mean, I think I'm right about that.
I think I only see him once
side?
A year there in
Dutch
the Champions League action. City's leading.
Sorry if I messed that up, folks that are soccer fans.
Yeah, salute to you if that's your town.
Yeah,
you know, sorry
about
we can't
that.
Pronounce it. We're too stupid.
Yeah.
But you do have a City leading 1-0 at the half on an Erling Haaland PK just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Dude, okay. He looks like he could play like strong safety.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe
running back?
Running back, wide receiver. You know, he would maybe end.
maybe a good rush end. Yeah.
he is a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's how much Dodgers players are getting for winning the World Series. This is a significant amount of cash. Each player gets $477,000. Out of a pool of $46 million. The payout's actually lower than in recent years for one reason or another. But
I think that's got to put a ton of extra incentive in those playoff series and those postseason series, because that represents about what, you know, some of these young guys are making.
Yeah, that's the situation too. Shohei, probably not so much. Thank you very much. But to some guy that's the 23rd, 24th, 25th player on the bench.
Yeah.
Some guy that's the utility backup catcher guy, you know, that, like you're saying, that makes veteran minimum.
Dude, you know, you just came up.
You're on the bench and all of a sudden you're getting, you know, $450,000. Okay.
We're getting a house this offseason.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a big level up.
Like Janko or somebody like that. You know.
I'm telling her we made $100,000.
There you go. $100,000. Got a bonus check, honey.
Got a bonus. $150,000. Here, I'll give you $50,000.
Yes.
That's how much I love you.
Yeah. Everything's 50-50 in this household.
I got a bonus for winning the Super Bowl in Green Bay, and I took all my buddies to Cabo.
Yeah.
Rented a house and, you know, paid for it. Like, just kind of organized the trip with golf and deep sea fish and stuff like that. These are the guys and gals that were like hanging around me when I was just trying to get going. And so I kind of felt like I can say it was such a fun trip, but I wish I had the money back now for.
Might pay for a term of Bennett's college.
Yeah, Bennett's college. I could have maybe kind of got a couple of taking care of some things there, but.
No, that's a great story. Great time.
Fun. It is fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a lot less money than that.
Your employees, your coworkers have been appreciating your generosity for years, Brian.
Well, thank you.
I think that's another example of it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we have a Cowboys wire here. And we go to KD Drummond, who has given you the top 12 most likely.
Ooh.
Scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to give you the name. You tell me how likely it is you think the Cowboys would name this dude head coach. And we start with Cliff, the OC in Washington. Is he a fit? I would think he's messed up twice now as a head coach. I want nothing to do with it.
Same. I would want nothing to do with it either. He has not proven he can be a consistent, even offensive coordinator throughout a full length season, let alone a head coach. He's actually proven he definitely cannot be a head coach at any level. The jury's still out on him as a play caller now.
I'm going to say three out of 10.
There's a chance. I mean, he looks the part. Yeah. He's a Texas guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we need
they
to
respect him over
the
there.
More out of Dak. We need to get some of his offensive schemes. But yeah, the numbers that you told me yesterday, I guess that was in the second half of the show. A lot of people listening. Yeah, just how much the league figures him out, his tendencies, you know, and he doesn't have a changeup.
Even back to college, Texas Tech would come out of the gates. They'd be above 500. They'd be scoring all these points. And in the second half of the season, they're under 500 every single time under Cliff. And then he becomes the head coach of the Cardinals. Same thing. They come out of the gates hot. They're scoring 30 points or whatever. Then by half number two, they're scoring 22 points a game, they're well under 500.
Less. Yeah, they're a touchdown
It's
less.
Just crazy.
I meant to ask you guys earlier about this next man on our list, the former Cowboys OC, Kellen Moore. He has the Eagles 7th in the NFL scoring offense, just under 27 points per game. How much credit does he get for Philly? Is he a candidate here?
I give him a 4 on the
definitely
list.
More than Cliff. I would say I think 4 is probably a fair place.
Yeah.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball, where former Dolphins head coach, current Vikings DC, Brian Flores is out there, boys. What do you say?
I'd say he's a 6.
I'd probably say similar to Kellen Moore, 4 or 5.
Ooh.
Okay. He's been a coach before,
yeah,
but it was kind of a train wreck by the end. So I think he would certainly be worth an interview, and I think he would be probably can he find an offensive coordinator?
That's
never proven that he could do that with the Dolphins.
Right, but see, I kind of feel like that same similar thing with the guy he used to work for with Belichick. He got an opportunity to work at Cleveland, got fired, and then the second gig was better. I'm kind of thinking that he's on that maybe on that path.
Yeah, I agree. I think from a just the way he handles his players and all that kind of stuff,
he should be better the second time around.
Much better.
Yeah.
I think the big question with Brian Flores
OC.
Is
you're the right,
who
the
is your offensive coordinator?
You're right.
Because I mean, he was doing co-offensive coordinators with two no-name guys for one of those years. He was just turning and burning there. They could never get it figured out. They made Tua look like a complete useless player, and now he's solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see, you know, what he could do to this defense, though.
Sure. Even though Mike Zimmer's got him trending in the right direction, I'm wondering if Jerry's going to mandate, with the way he was glowing about Zimmer.
He was
next
glowing
guy
today.
Comes in.
He was glowing.
Hey, here's your defensive coordinator. We're not moving on from him. You've seen him do it before.
Yeah. Wouldn't be mad at that. You could do worse. Former head coach Mike Vrabel is next on the list at 9.
I love Mike. That's why I said you could do worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, busting his chops a little bit. What do you think about Mike Vrabel? Is this something we should be hoping for?
I think this is somewhere between 7 and 8.
Agreed.
On my schedule.
Yeah, and I would say based on some of these candidates, yeah, he'd be up there. He'd be in the hope category. Yeah. Like, he'd be one of those that you sign
There's
him.
There's another one you've got to figure out the OC.
You feel optimistic about it. Is he going to try to play defense and run the ball, though? Is this going back in time?
He is going to play. He wants to do those things, yes. But I think the one credit to him is he did hire Matt LaFleur as his offensive coordinator with the Titans. Yeah. And they made Ryan Tannehill look like a legit quarterback for a couple of years.
He had the guy Smith that, you know, before he went to
Arthur Smith
before he went to Atlanta. They were very physical play the way they played, yeah.
You have Belichick at 8.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little insight on this one.
Okay.
This one's going to have to be, and I can't put a number on it, but I'll say this. I think Bill Belichick is going to have to ask for a meeting if it comes to this. I think he's going to want to meet with Jerry and get the total understanding of what's going on in this organization. Who's in charge of discipline? Who's in charge of the locker room stuff?
You think it'd be more him interviewing them?
He is going to, before he submits to an interview, I believe he's going to ask a million questions.
Discipline's one of the biggest things that a coach has to be responsible for.
That's what he's going to interview Jerry in a way. And I was hearing from people that I know, and you guys know, I know Mike Lombardi and stuff like that. You know, Mike and him are close, but I just knowing the situation, how it is, I just feel like that Bill's not going to just take a job to get back in. Bill is going to interview, okay, what is this organization? What can I bring? But what are you going to bring for me? You know, how do you handle it? You know, he's going to want to know, what's Will McClay's responsibility in personnel? You know, how do you feel like if I want to go sign a player, are you going to let me sign a player? He's going to ask a million questions.
Got to get a lay of the land. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, I would love it if he would take over as head coach. You know, I just think his culture, his attention to detail, that accountability could all do wonders for the entire organization.
If we're to get an interview and take this job, it would be because he got everything that he wanted to know buttoned up before he even took the interview.
For sure. Yeah, and I think back to Vrabel for a second, I think that's part of like the culture stuff, but also I think he's a plus like CEO game manager for you. In game, he's going to find the loopholes. He will do the timeout at the right time. All those sorts of things, I think he's pretty dialed.
Nice. Okay, the Dolphins OC Frank Smith is 7 on the list. We haven't talked much about him. Mm. I think just the fact that, you know, you're in that coaching tree would make it a hire that I would like, you know, just to see if it could work. I think, you know, a number of these guys are going to get shots, and some of them will have no business being a head coach, and that might be painfully obvious. And you'll be firing them very soon. But I think everybody on that coaching tree, I would be excited about seeing what they could do different. Bobby Slowick, Aaron Glenn, the Lions DC, is on this list, ranked number 5. Dion, number 4. Wow, look at KD putting him up there. Joe Brady, the Bills OC. Worked with LSU, didn't he?
He did.
With Carolina.
He was with the national championship year in 19, then went to Carolina. Really didn't have much success with Matt Rhule there. Got to Buffalo as a quarterback coach. Ken Dorsey pooped in the bed. He took over. Bills been on a run.
Ravens OC Todd Monken, number 2. We want him.
Chief. Kind of a college guy.
Not for me.
Yeah.
And then Ben Johnson coming in at number 1. Yeah. Is that likely?
I don't find it likely. No, I don't even know that he would. I don't even think he wants to be here, alone the Cowboys wanting him.
Yeah, I think Ben Johnson, I would predict him is going to probably get the Chicago Bears job. That would be my prediction.
NFL News Today coming up next, Eric. Where are we going?
Well, it's actually a great day to be Mike McCarthy. We have some sound to prove it. Plus, a perennial bleep hole of the week adds another notch on his belt next in the nation.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.